Hello, Dr. Beal. How are you?
I am absolutely fabulous.
Well, thank the you. Name of the book is Cinderella Didn't Live Happily Ever After, The Hidden Messages in Fairy Tales. Before we get to this, I do want to respond to a couple of texts that I said on the radio I would respond to. One is so wonderful. Give a shout out, and I know you're an animal lover, to Linda Hartman of Lost Dog, Illinois. Our pug got out Wednesday morning, and this is the time of year when people lose a lot of dogs because of the fireworks. I don't know if that happened here because I don't know, but they do become frightened and run off. We've been searching for her since then with many volunteers. No luck. We called Linda. She came out in 30 minutes, helped us locate this dog.
Wow.
I know. We're so grateful to her, and that's a great story. Another says, for Pete's sake, Steve, growing up in our whole block, we had dogs and cats, and no one did anything special. We all survived. Even the pets. The whole pets and fireworks deal is overblown. I will tell you, if you have a dog or cat that is terrified, and they are that, it's a panic attack. It's inhumane to ignore that. And if the dog is hypersalivating, I mean, drooling all over the place, hair is flying all over, you know that dog is house trained, but the dog is having accidents indoors. Some of those dogs will actually try to break through windows. And you're telling me to grow up, that's a bunch of nonsense? No, it's not. And I'm glad we are paying attention to that. Dogs and cats have emotions just like we do.
Just like we do. And my dog and my cat are absolutely frightened.
Really?
Of fireworks. Oh, yes. I mean, during thunderstorms, my dog gets absolutely panicked.
You know, and the difference is, for fireworks anyway, we can explain what's going on to one another, even to children if they're afraid. We can't explain it to dogs. So,
well,
all
we
right,
can, I'll, but you know,
I'll leave that alone.
Leave it alone.
Why did you write this book? Cinderella Did Not Live Happily Ever After. First of all, I thought she did.
I know. I hope she did as well, but it turns out she didn't, actually.
What happened to Cinderella?
Well,
who knew? You did.
Well, you know what? What happened was I wrote this book because I had a bad day one day, and I went home and read fairy tales, which I absolutely love. And I started noticing some patterns in the Grimm's fairy tales. And I thought, well, you know, Steve, I love data. So I started actually coding them and collecting data on these 169 stories with humans in them. And I noticed that there were some terrific patterns that suggested Cinderella didn't live happily ever after. And one of them is that queens cry and are fearful more than any other character. Kings and princes are happy. And the reason why queens tend to cry is because they are attacked by other women after they take that position, married to that handsome prince.
So the whole premise of this, at least in great part, is that women, though it may seem otherwise, really weren't treated so well in those fairy tales.
They're often treated terribly, not only by other women, but also by their husbands, who sometimes give death sentences to them. Their mother-in-laws treat them terribly, sometimes lying about them to their sons, trying to get the woman out of there. Sometimes their children are taken from them in these fairy tales. So, yeah, fairy tales are actually kind of rough for women who ascend to these positions of power. And interestingly, queens have very little power. They have actually some of the lowest power of any character in fairy tales.
I did not, even more than the three little pigs?
Even more.
Or something, but they were in a fairy tale, I imagine. So, give me an example, aside from Cinderella, or you can use Cinderella as an example if you want, as to how women are being portrayed in these fairy tales and how that, you know, as a six-year-old girl, so were fairy tales in your life, most girls at some point, it's either read to them or when they learn to read, they read fairy tales.
Or see them in movies.
Yeah, true enough. Does that impact?
I think it does. I think we're affected by the stories that are in our culture, and these are cultural stories. If you listen to everyday conversation, you'll hear words like fairy tale, I want a fairy tale ending, I want to marry Prince Charming.
Well, how's that bad?
Well, it's not necessarily bad, except that the fairy tales that are probably the most marketed are the ones where women have probably some of the lowest power. They're very passive characters. Cinderella's kind of a passive character.
But she found the right shoe.
She did.
So give me an example, even if you can think of one, aside, I'm sure you can, aside from Cinderella.
Well, I think a good example is Beauty and the Beast, where she basically goes to live with a beast and falls
in love. But he's a nice guy.
He's not a nice guy, actually.
I thought he was. He just kind of looked like
He is actually rough. In the original story. He's actually pretty horrible, and she thinks she's going to die.
You're educating me. So what we saw in the movie wasn't consistent with the original story of Beauty and the Beast?
No, the original story was written in the 1740s.
So Paul Lisnick was around when that was written.
Paul Lisnick actually might have written that original story.
About a beast, it's very possible. So the beast was...
So in the original story, believe it or not, the beast was a prince who refused the advances of a very unattractive fairy. So she became very angry at him and turned him into a beast. He was very unintelligent and he was very uncouth and he was just a horrible person. And so that's the original story.
Uh-huh.
In the one that you've probably seen from Disney and you've seen a couple of movies, you know, he's pretty aggressive. He's pretty angry. He's very unattractive. And yet she falls in love with a character who is so unappealing.
But I could argue that looks don't matter and that you can fall in love with anyone.
Well, that is true, except in fairy tales, women, female characters marry up completely based on appearance, and male characters marry up completely based on feats of bravery, their intelligence, their ability to solve riddles. So we actually tell our males and females that appearance really matters if you want to marry Prince Charming. And Cinderella is always very attractive in all of these fairy tales.
Well, in fact, most of the women are, aren't they?
Extremely. In fact, that's in many fairy tales.
Could they be flip-flop with one another, essentially, because they kind of look very similar?
Some of them could be, yeah, for sure.
All right, more about this depressing news. I had no idea. Cinderella didn't live happily ever after. When we come back from the break, Dr. Ann Beal, I want to know, well, then what happened to Cinderella? Apparently, you know. This is a book, and you're going to be making some appearances?
I am.
Yep. So we'll talk about those appearances as well. It's 3:45 on WGN. Dr. Ann Beal is here on WGN. We're talking about the book Cinderella Didn't Live Happily Ever After, The Hidden Messages in Fairy Tales. And what you're saying to me is consistently that women are portrayed a certain way and men are portrayed a completely different way.
Correct.
Tell me what those ways are.
So male characters tend to be portrayed as very, as people with agency.
Do they have a PR firm? What kind of agency?
They take a lot of initiative. They are, they're smart. They're brave. They solve problems. They are powerful. And they're also portrayed as good, often very good.
Mm-hmm. And?
Females are portrayed as lacking agency, as passive, as often victimized, as needing to be saved, as very fearful. And when they are powerful, they are often portrayed as evil. So we think of fairy tale women with power are generally evil, witches, stepmothers, whereas powerful men in fairy tales are princes and kings, and they're always good.
Well, so someone here on a texter wants to know, can you give us another example? So it's what I asked you before. So we talked about Beauty and the Beast, obviously Cinderella. Is there another example? A fairy tale people would know, because I know in your research you also did research on fairy tales that many of us have never heard of.
Sure. Well, I mean, Sleeping Beauty is a good example of a character who's largely asleep for most of the...
Well, that's not a bad deal. It's a good gig if you can get it.
That's right. Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Well, one at a time. So tell me, Sleeping Beauty, what was wrong?
She's very passive, right?
Yeah.
The evil character in that tale is an evil fairy who, you know, curses her in the kingdom. She is saved by a handsome prince, you know, who kisses her. So that's kind of a good example.
Is it ever the other way around, where a guy is saved in any way, shape, or form by the woman?
Mostly not. Mostly not.
Are there any examples?
There are a few cases where female characters save brothers. So I think it's like the 12 ravens she goes in search of, and she's very brave, and she does all kinds of tremendous feats and saves her brothers who've been turned into black ravens. But largely what we found from the data that the characters who are active and who take initiative are largely male, and the characters who are passive and who are often victimized are largely female.
So you're a research analyst? Is that the right term?
I am.
Okay. And you like data.
I do.
And you've written many other books. And in these books, we've talked on the air before, in these books you have data. Oftentimes in the back of the book, everything is documented, and you interview people. And how do you get an interview with Snow White? I mean, how did you get these interviews? I mean, really, I'm serious. Do you know the Beast and the Beauty? How do you get this information?
So I actually did not interview Snow White specifically, but I did read her tale along with 168 others.
Where do you get those, Grimm's?
There are collections of Grimm's fairy tales. It's actually one of the most well-read books after the Bible, if you can believe that. Yeah. So fairy tales. But we actually coded them, and we actually had a couple people code, or essentially you read the tale and then you write what was there an active character? Was it male, female? You know, you code all this in very large databases, and then
is
you do statistical analyses.
Part of that subjective then?
So we have multiple coders do it to see whether...
Men too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a woman and you run a business.
I do.
Have you been over the years... I don't know what kind. I don't work for you. Maybe you're a tough boss. Maybe you're not. But if you are, or if you're perceived that way by an individual, is the response you get incredibly different than, say, if you have a male counterpart?
Generally, the response, I think, is quite different. I think any woman in business will tell you. The research actually shows that women leaders have to be overly communal to try and get the same level of positive perception that male leaders do.
Well, they always say that if you're a woman who's tough, you're deemed I can't say it on the radio, but
sure.
SO something.
Yes,
however,
absolutely.
However, if you're a guy, you're just tough.
Right.
Is that all really still true?
I think it's absolutely true, and I think it's part of the cultural stories that we tell. You know, we find great faults. First of all, there aren't that many powerful women. The ones that we have out there, we often do not trust. And I would argue
that... Is that consistent with the fairy tales?
Absolutely.
The women that are powerful are also not to be trusted.
They are not to be trusted. In fairy tales, powerful women are largely evil, whereas powerful men in fairy tales are largely good. So we start telling children that story very early on.
Well, it seems to me then you should write your own fairy tale.
I do.
What? Who does that?
I do.
So you sit down at night, maybe in the morning, I don't know, and you begin typing a fairy tale?
I've written, I'm actually working on a book that is a fairy tale, and I have written fairy tales, often fairy tales where there's bit of a twist. So in the fairy tale that I wrote recently,
yes.
A character had a character has a head injury and wakes up in this strange world. And she is plopped into fairy tale realm. So she is plopped into the Cinderella story, and she's so excited, except that she's a more lowly servant than Cinderella. And she watches Cinderella go off to the ball, and she thinks, I got it. She switches her shoe for Cinderella's shoe and then marries
That's
Prince
very
Charming.
Creative.
Except that he doesn't turn out to be so great. She turns out to find that it's not so awesome. But yeah.
Is that legal to use some of these characters? I guess Grimm has been gone for a while now.
Sure. These are cultural stories.
Yeah.
And we all know them. So it's fun.
We do.
And I love fairy tales where there's strong female characters, and there are many of those around the world. Not so much in the European tradition, but there are many very strong African female
really?
Characters. Yes. I study folk tales and fairy tales around the world.
Who doesn't? Where do you find those?
I haunt Barnes & Noble, let me tell you.
And they have fairy tale books, fairy tales from different cultures around the world?
Mm-hmm. I have a...
So how is America's... I mean, you touched on this, but how are America's so different than, say, Asia or Africa? Because it seems to me, I'm just standing here guessing, but in Asia, women would even be more subservient.
So I am working on a new book called Only Prince Charming Gets to Break the Rules. And you can imagine what the thesis is there. But in that case, we analyzed 400 fairy tales from around the world. And so fairy tales varied in terms of, for example, some characters are more punished than others, and some characters break bigger rules than others. So, for example, we found in Africa, a lot of animals do really crazy things in folk tales and get away with stuff.
Well, they should, yeah. I think. You have a couple of appearances coming up.
I do, actually. I do. I am going to be in August. On August 20th, I'll be at the Barnes & Noble from 11 to 1 in Deerfield. In August 21st, I'll be at Barbara's Bookstore in Burr Ridge from 11 to 1. And then on August 27th, I will be at Barbara's Bookstore in Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg.
And is there a website people can go to where this stuff is?
Yes.
Okay.
They can go to annbeal.com.
That's Ann with two N's and an E.
It is.
B-O-B-E-A-L-L.
.com.
We'll podcast all of this, and we will link to your website from WGNradio.com. Dr. Ann Beal, it is always good to talk to you. I have one quick question before we go. Am I your Prince Charming? I guess that's the answer right there. Oh, well.
You're the best, Steve.
I tried. I don't know. Can I be the runner-up Prince Charming?
You could be the runner-up.
Okay, I'll take that.